Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24/7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and hopefully we have with us on the line William Federer. Hi, William, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
Are you there?
Yes,
well,
it's great to be with you.
Real problems. We have William Federer. William, are you there? Okay, well, we're having all sorts of problems today. Not bad enough that I had a little surgery this morning, and I can't feel my hand at all. But anyway, we're talking about the scam of the rising oil prices. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that this is happening is because they want to destroy our economy, because certainly this is going to have profound impact on every aspect of our society, whether it be the airlines, whether it be the production of plastics, whether it would be the people who have to commute back and forth to work, whether this would be the food, the tremendous impact on farmers, tremendous impact on truckers. And of course, what this is going to do is really take so much money out of the economy, people won't have it for buying other things or paying for their homes or paying off their credit cards. William, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, good to be with you.
Okay, fine. Well, we just had a little mechanical problem here, and you're going to talk to us a little bit about Barack,
yes?
Hussein Obama. So you go right ahead.
Well, it's interesting that his
William, are you on a regular telephone? I'm having difficulty. You're cutting out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Barack's stepbrother is named Malik Obama, and he is in Kenya, and he was interviewed last week by the Jerusalem Post. And in the interview, Malik Obama said that he thought his stepbrother would make a good president for the Jews, even though he was raised Muslim.
Okay.
Now, that is quite an eye-opener, because on Obama's website, he says he was not raised Muslim. And so when you begin to unravel this, that Barack has basically lied. In Malik Obama's interview, he showed a picture, which is posted on the Internet, of him holding a picture with Barack Obama. And Barack is dressed up in his Muslim outfit, and he claims that they had gone to the mosque together, that Barack recites Quran verses, and the picture was taken when Barack Obama was 24 years old, so it was not like he was a little young infant boy. And so we're getting two stories out now, and I think this is important for the public to know.
Well, I think that if Barack Obama is lying to the American people, if he was raised as a Muslim and then converted to Christianity, that's fine, certainly. But to say he was never a Muslim or never raised as a Muslim, I mean, that is, means that he's lying to the American people, just like Hillary did with her, getting off the airplane under sniper fire.
also is in Islam, there's a story where Muhammad had one of his warriors captured, and he was forced to renounce Muhammad. And then later, the warrior escaped and went back to Muhammad, and Muhammad told him, if they make you turn, turn, as long as you don't turn in your heart. So in other words, it's okay to deny Muhammad as long as you don't fight against Muhammad, as long as your actions are not against Islam. And so that's the way that the Muslim world today views Barack Obama. They view him as, in his heart, he is not resisting the Islamic agenda. He basically wants to surrender. And so when you look at the centuries of tribal warfare in Arab countries, when they would have one tribe fighting another tribe, and one tribe would begin to lose, the loser would humble themselves and seek out the leader of the winning tribe and would go to them to try to negotiate peace. And so when Obama says the first thing he's going to do when he becomes president is to seek out and go to these Muslim leaders and try to negotiate peace, the Muslims hear that as surrender. So when Barack Obama says that he wants to go meet with them, Muslims interpret that as surrendering. And this is an important concept that most people in the West don't understand.
I think that I have to understand that. I actually take the communist papers. I have political affairs I've subscribed to for 40 years. And there in political affairs on a recent cover was a caricature of Barack Obama standing before the microphones with a caption above it in this communist publication, we are winning, we are winning. And then that's all it said. It showed Obama and said we're winning. And of course, you have to understand every communist is going to be behind Obama. Now we can get to the background of who finances the communist movement in the United States, who's always financed the communist movement in the United States and in Russia. But the fact that the communists look upon him as one of theirs, I think should be of concern to every American. And they're just not getting this information. Certainly I'm not a John McCain supporter. I think John McCain is an abomination. But be that as it may, Obama certainly, I do not believe, has any loyalty to the country. And certainly the fact that he would actually, for years, participate in the church with Reverend Wright, who was a black racist. And, you know, after 20 years, he says, gee, I never heard any of those terrible things that he was saying. Does anybody really believe that, William?
More and more people are beginning to see through the cover. You know, Islam is really communism with a God. And I mean that with all due respect. But because communism is not just a political system, it is a ideology. It governs every aspect of your thoughts. There is no freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of organizing. So that's why actually Islam is the world's greatest political system. Communism, after 70 years, you know, the USSR folded. Of course, it's still going on in China and other countries. But Nazism ended. It ruled the world for a while. Alexander the Great ruled the world for a while. The Romans ruled the world. Islam has, as a political system, been growing for 1,400 years. And other than Spain and Israel, no area that has come underneath of Islamic political control has ever come out from that control. And that's the difficulty that the West is beginning to understand, is that Islam is not just a religion, it's a military system and a political system. In other words, Christianity is just a religious system. Jesus was a religious leader. Now, I personally believe he was the Son of God, but Jesus did not set up his apostles as governors or generals. Not so in Islam. Muhammad was not just the supreme religious leader, he was the supreme military leader and the supreme political leader. and the caliphs that followed him were supreme religious, political, and military leaders. And they conquered huge areas of the world, from North Africa to Spain to Persia to the Holy Land to all of Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. And, you know, people forget that they twice surrounded Vienna, Austria, and almost captured it. So it is a political system, a military system, and a religious system. So that's why when we invite Islam into our country, we're also inviting in a political military system into the country. And if we can, for a moment, strip away the religious passions and just look at Islam from a political military aspect, it has a global conquest aspect to it that eventually wants to take over the world. And it does not treat non-Muslims with equality to Muslims. So the question is, what other political military systems has America had to face over the last 100 years that had a global conquest aspect to them that did not treat non-adherents with equality to adherents? Well, I guess the first one that comes to mind is Nazism. And America had to go through this difficult situation where we said, look, we love the German, but we have to identify and stand against the political military system of Nazism. And we love the Japanese, but we had to identify and stand against the political military system of Japanese imperialism. And we love the Italian, but we had to stand against Mussolini's fascism. And we love the Russian during the Cold War, but we had to identify and stand against communism. And we love the Chinese, but we have to stand against Chinese collectivism. So today, we love the Arab, we love the Indonesian, we love the Turk, but we have to identify and stand against political Islam, fundamental Islam, because it has a global conquest aspect to it that does not treat non-Muslims with equality to Muslims. And so that's why when you're inviting Islam into the country, realize you're also inviting in a political military system, and it's impossible to split them. Because Muhammad himself was all three, a political, military, and religious leader. And so the effort today to split the militant side of Islam away from the religious side of Islam is you are trying to split Muhammad, and that's impossible.
But, of course, the major financier of this is Saudi Arabia, that is being financed by our own government. Saudi Arabia and Pakistan are the major forces behind this world Islamic movement. And why are we financing? We'll be right back with William Federer.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve Note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so
you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Doctors around the world claim that cancer and other diseases cannot live in a pH-balanced alkaline environment. But as you know, most people are overly acidic due to stress, acidic diet, and lack of exercise. pH balance is the foundation of energy abundance and perfect health, as well as prevention of disease. People who alkalize the water they drink experience normalized blood sugar, mental clarity, and loss of weight. It was intended for human beings to drink alkaline water, but due to modern way of life, most people are overly acidic. The fact is that disease simply cannot exist in an alkaline environment. Fat accumulates if a person consumes too much acid on a regular basis and doesn't neutralize it. Do your part. Alkalize and supercharge your body now. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops contain a special mineral salt concentrate that raises the pH of the water you drink up to the pH of 10 with only 10 drops. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to alkavision.com. Again, that's alkavision.com.
Okay, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is certainly William Fetter, his good friend, and he's telling us about, of course, this radical form of Islam, and I certainly agree it's radical, but the trouble is that this was not a threat to America. In fact, the radical Islam is growing by leaps and bounds because of what we've done over there, because of our attack on Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. We didn't go in to get Osama bin Laden. If we did, why are we still fighting in Afghanistan when he's been gone for 6 years? And why are we fighting in Iraq? And why are we trying to keep our troops permanently stationed in there? George Bush is demanding 58 bases and an indefinite stationing of troops. Don't you think, William, that that is just going to antagonize the Islamic world? And why are we trying to antagonize them? And why are we backing Saudi Arabia and Pakistan that are financing this radical form of Islam that you're concerned about?
It's interesting, the word offend them or aggravate them. From the very beginning, Muhammad would go out on his terror raids, and when he would kill people, he fought in 45 battles between 622 and 632 when he died. In that 10-year period, every 6 weeks he was involved in some violent battle or a raid. And when the surrounding Arabs would say, "Why did you do this?" he said, "Well, you offended and aggravated and injured us by chasing us out of Mecca. And so we were the ones that were wronged." And so they've always taken the attitude of they were the ones that were wronged, and then they have a right to retaliate. Now, it's interesting that you bring up the oil, because after the Ottoman Empire fell, after World War One, Britain took the mandate or the protectorate for Palestine and Iraq. Of course, later gave birth to Israel out of that. The French took the mandate or the protectorate for Lebanon and Syria. They gave them their independence in 1943. They wanted America to take the protectorate for Armenia, and we said no. And between 1915 and 1922, 1.5 million Armenian Christians were killed. But the Ottoman Empire basically went into remission, that it was on the backwater. Saudi Arabia was one of the poorest countries in the world. They were dwelling in tents with camels. And Saudi Arabia was the most violent version of Islam. In other words, in 1740, there was a Muslim imam in Arabia named Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab, which is just shortened to Wahhabism. He started his violent version of Islam that said that they needed to stop being backslidden. They need to physically conquer the world militarily for Allah. But this was just a desert sect of these Muslims, and they didn't pay much attention to them, but they finally grew, And finally, in 1924 is when these Wahhabis got control of the city of Mecca. Now, in Islam, they have what they call the five pillars. And one of those five pillars is that once in your life, you're supposed to take a pilgrimage to Mecca. Now that the Wahhabis, as of 1924, got control of Mecca, then all these Muslims from around the world began to be infected with this violent, militant, physically, you know, fighting to bring the world into submission to Allah ideology. But if that wasn't bad enough, in 1938 is when oil was discovered in Saudi Arabia, and the West began to pump billions and billions of dollars over there, and three things happened. One, within one generation, Saudi Arabia went from the poorest Arab country to the wealthiest Arab country. And so the other country said, well, we want to be blessed by Allah too, let's be Wahhabi too. That's the first. The second is that because the Saudi economy exploded, all the surrounding countries sent people there to do work. And so they would be Islamicized. They would learn this more violent Wahhabi version, and they would come back to their home country with lots of money, and they would spread Wahhabism. But then the third way is that Saudi Arabia has become the number one exporter of Wahhabi violent Islam. They have 25,000 madrasas, Islamic schools around the world. 9 out of 10 mosques in America are Saudi-financed mosques. In my book, and I wrote a book, it's called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. In my book, I have a whole chapter where I reprinted the Washington Post article from May 21st, 2006, where the reporter went into these Muslim schools and got their Muslim Saudi Arabian textbooks and translated them from Arabic into English. And sure enough, they say that the Jew is from apes and the Christians are pigs, that true belief means that you hate the infidel, anyway, but here it's all based on Saudi Arabia, and it's Saudi Arabia is funded by the West buying oil from them. So instead of us drilling oil in Alaska or along the coast of our country, we're using, you know, the oil companies have arranged it so that we're
feeding the dragon. Got to be back in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism, which is why you should be reading the Nationalist Times each month. We promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times features outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Find out why the Nationalist Times has many thousands of loyal readers across America. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times, America's best patriotic newspaper, for just $19 for 1 year. That's less than half the regular subscription price. Subscribe today by sending $19 to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. Or subscribe online at anu.org.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? Tebow Tech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, Tebow Tech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The Tebow Tech Essentials Package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of Tebow Tech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Stand back here, and before we go on, I just want to give William Feder a chance to get his webpage out there and tell you a little bit about his books. Now, we cover many of them. We carry many of them. We don't carry this book, although I think I may have just gotten a copy of it. Does it have a brown cover? The one
it's
Quran?
Sort of a maroon cover. And it's
maroon cover?
An old book that I've scanned in and put in as the cover of it, the book cover. So
I think that's it. Well, anyway, you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get your product and then your webpage, too.
Well, it's AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And one of the things I think is interesting is that this isn't the first time that financial interests have betrayed Western civilization.
Right.
And one of the classics is the fall of the Byzantine Empire. I'm not sure if I've mentioned that on the program before, Dr. Stan, but for those that are not familiar, that the Byzantine Empire for 1,000 years was the biggest empire in Europe. It was started by Constantine, the Roman emperor who converted to Christianity. And he legalized Christianity, and Constantine moved the capital from Rome to the Bosporus, where the East and the West meet, right, where the Black Sea empties into the Aegean and the Mediterranean Sea. And this city had these three-tiered walls that had never been breached in 1,000 years. They had all churches there. I mean, it was a thoroughly Christian. And what happened was, though, when the Muslims began to invade into the Byzantine Empire, there were Italian, Genoan, and Venetian merchant city-states, and they would actually trade military goods to the Muslims that they knew full well would be used against the Byzantine Christians, but they simply wanted a buck. They said, look, the Muslims want these weapons. If they don't buy them from me, they'll buy them from the Venetians or the Genoans, and so I might as well make some money off it. They never stopped to think that 100 years later the Muslims would be invading Italy. People forget the Muslims held Sicily for 300 years. They had captured Corsica and Sardinia. Matter of fact, they controlled the entire Mediterranean almost, North Africa, the Holy Land, and, of course, Turkey, which used to be the Byzantine Empire. They had Greece for hundreds of years. But here we have these Western interests that were betraying Western civilization. And then the Fourth Crusade happened. Now, the Byzantine Empire cried out to the West for help. And the West never really gelled in coming to their aid, but except for the very first time when Pope Urban got the message from the Byzantine Emperor Alexis Comnenus, and Emperor went to the Council of Clermont, where all the kings of Europe were meeting, and he said, look, these Muslim Turks are taking your Byzantine brethren out and making them extend their necks and then attempting with a single stroke of a sword to chop off their heads. And so they said, you need to come to their aid. And so the King of France organized the First Crusade, and it took back Jerusalem for 100 years. And then the rest of the Crusade sort of fizzled. But the Fourth Crusade was horrible because the West, which was Roman Catholic, came into the harbor of Constantinople. And so the people in Constantinople let down, they had a chain that went across the harbor. And so they let the chain down, thinking, oh, I guess they want to, you know, gas up on their way over to the Middle East or whatever. And lo and behold, the Fourth Crusade, 1204 A.D., they got off track, and because of the schism, the Roman Catholic Byzantine split, they decided to sack Constantinople. And so they I mean, raped and pillaged and stole all the gold. And then for 57 years, the Venetians controlled Constantinople, and they outsourced all of the trade, the business. I mean, it was a trade city. So then this is when all the doges of Venice and Florence became immensely wealthy. Basically, they got wealthy at the expense of Constantinople. And then finally, they drove the Venetians out. But by this time, their money was gone, their defenses were destroyed, and the Muslims were increasing their attack. And now the Byzantines had to raise taxes on their own people to try to rebuild their defenses against this increasing Muslim threat. And so it's a perfect example of Western civilization for a buck, being greedy, decided to betray the other part of it. So here today we have globalists with the OPEC, and I mean, people forget that it was Western oil companies that organized OPEC, that these Arab Muslims could not agree on anything. I mean, Sir Lawrence of Arabia found that out, that he was trying to organize the Arab Muslims to fight the Turkish Muslims, and the Arab Muslims wouldn't agree on anything. But so it took Western financial interests and oil interests to go over and organize OPEC. Unfortunately, Bush the First was one of those entities, and so they even made the agreement that you keep the money, just deposit it in our Western banks. And because of the ability to do fractional banking, where you keep a portion of and you lend out the rest, that they could make 10 times as much money as what was deposited in there, and so they made more than the Arabs did. But here they were wanting to keep their monopoly, and John D. Rockefeller was the sort of the inventor of monopolies. I wrote a book on George Washington Carver, and George Washington Carver in 1930 was trying to get the ethanol going in Kansas, and there was the first ethanol plant, and John D. Rockefeller sent out people to the gas stations at the time and told them lies about ethanol not to use it. And George Washington Carver was so disappointed at this because, if in 1930 we had gotten the ethanol thing going, we'd be like Brazil right now. We wouldn't be dependent on foreign oil. But so we see that, and George Washington Carver wrote about being able to work to make soybean into plastic. And Henry Ford was thrilled with being able to take soybeans and turning them into plastics, for the cars and so forth. But when World War II started, Franklin Roosevelt ended all that. But here we were on the road to becoming independent, but a lot of these big government and oil interests decided not to. And so here we are today, dependent on the very people that want to kill us. And it's just a... when you stand back and look at the picture and you see the 1400 years of Islamic conquest and you see the financial interests and also the political interests that when the Byzantine Christians and the Catholic Christians were at odds with each other, Islam advanced, and then a century later when the Catholic Christians and the Protestant Christians were at odds, then Islam advanced, and France for a period of time actually made a treaty with the Ottomans and was building up the Ottoman military. And one little footnote in history is that when France made a treaty with the Ottoman Muslims and in 1795, they were going to send a young artillery officer to the Ottomans to show them how to use cannons on wheels and to do artillery tactics. And this young artillery officer's name was Napoleon. And Napoleon refused to go. He resigned from the military. He didn't want to train somebody else to fight and get the glory. He wanted to fight himself. And anyway, the French military valued him so much they put him back in, and that's when Napoleon conquered Italy. And then Napoleon went off on his great conquests. But here, all of Napoleon's conquests came within a hair's breadth of being done in the name of Islam. But But whenever the West is in confusion, either politically or religiously, then Islam advances.
Well, I think that today we have a very, very real problem. We have, for instance, in Palestine, we have two groups there. We have Fatah and Hamas, and the United States is financing the Fatah terrorists, training the Fatah terrorists, you know, giving weapons to the Fatah terrorists, and the Fatah terrorists certainly have always worked very closely. They have some conflicts with Hamas, but, I mean, certainly, why would you be financing a terrorist group that is intent upon destroying Israel, as Fatah certainly represent? They're not, you know, they're not the good Palestinians. They are simply another terrorist group. And we find over and over again that it seems to be we're doing everything we possibly can to build up our enemies. So for instance, Sybil Edmonds' story about, I mean, how Pakistan got the bomb. And of course, she claims it was a spy ring operating at the highest levels of the American government. That was known by our State Department. The FBI knew about it. They weren't allowed to do anything. And, of course, then we transfer the material and the plans for the nuclear weapons to Pakistan. Why, if she's telling the truth, we would have to ask why we would be doing that. I think she's telling the truth because her story has been totally blocked out by the American media. You can find it on the London Times. They published it, but totally blacked out by the American people. So if it wasn't true, why would they block it out? And then why would we be doing such things? Bill, have you ever had the feeling that sometimes we're actually building up the best enemies money could buy?
And it is interesting because when the Venetians, when the Muslims were attacking Greece, that some of these Venetian and Genoan military traders, they would trade military goods to the Muslims. Then they would go to the Greeks and say, hey, the Muslims have just got this new weapon. You need it, too. And so the Greeks would buy the weapon. And then they'd, you know, go back to the Muslims and say, hey, the Greeks now have this weapon. You need the next better weapon. And they'd sell them the next. Then they go to the Greeks and they'd say, hey, now they have this next better weapon and you need it, too. And so here they were making money off of both sides. And unfortunately, that's when it's like back in Israel where they were rebuilding the walls when they came back from Babylon, and some of the people were working really hard rebuilding the walls, and other ones were speculating in real estate and even enslaving some of the workers who couldn't pay their debts. And I think it was, I don't know, Zerubbabel or Ezra or one of the ones who just rebuked him and said, you know, how dare you enslave your Jewish brothers when they just got out of slavery. But there's always been this greed that is willing to sacrifice a nation, sacrifice sovereignty for a financial benefit, and they don't stand back and look at the long-term picture. Because so they get a lot of money, and America falls, and the Muslims take over. What are they going to do? I mean, they live in Brazil or Uruguay. I heard that that's one of the countries that a lot of these people are beginning to transfer wealth to, you know, or transfer their wealth to Panama. And so, you know, America falls, and so you're a citizen of Panama, and you're going to hide out there. I mean, how long is that going to last till they come after you there, or your children or your grandchildren? So it's one of these situations where financial interests are willing to betray national interests. And I think that also multiculturalism is the AIDS virus of Western civilization. The teaching that all cultures are of equal value. You know, when I stand before kids in schools, I'll say, do all cultures value human life equally? And the kids will think for a while, and they go, well, no, they don't. You know, some allow slavery. This, you know, you look at Islam, where it says an infidel is not equal to a believing Muslim, a woman's not equal to a man. When you look at Hinduism, where the untouchable is considered less than human, and they got to take care of the garbage and clean the toilets. They're not equal to a Brahmin, which is near divinity, you know. And then in the atheistic countries, where your worth is dependent on your utility, if you can contribute to the state, you're worth more. If you can't contribute to the state, you're voted off the island, you know, survivor program. And in America, you're equal. And why? Well, I can't believe it was a Democrat President Harry S. Truman, in his inaugural address, 1949, said, "We believe all men are created equal, because we're created in the image of God." And then, of course, the question is asked, what belief system believes you're made in the image of God? Well, Jews and Christians, Book of Genesis, mm-hmm. The image of God he created them, male and female. In Islam, Muhammad said Allah has no image. In Hinduism, there's 300 million different gods, so which one would you be made in the image of? And then in atheism, there is no God. So the very basic concept of equality that we have in America is a Judeo-Christian concept. If you want the table to stand, you got to keep the legs in place. You can't take the legs out and put in an atheistic leg that says your worth is dependent on your utility. Then you'll have euthanasia and starving Terry Schiavo type people to death. You can't switch it out with Islam, because wherever Islam takes over, the non-Muslims are called dhimmi. They're second-class citizens. They have to pay a jizya and ransom their life once a year. They can't pray out loud or ring church bells or own a gun, you know. And matter of fact, America is being Islamicized as we speak. In other words, in strict Islamic countries, they prohibit public Judeo-Christian expression. And the ACLU is going around in America wanting to prohibit public Judeo-Christian expression. So they're setting up a dhimmi status, a second-class citizenship for Christians and Jews right now. And my big concern is when the atheist gay agenda finally accomplished their goal of tearing down everything Judeo-Christian, from marriage to the belief in equality before God, that once they do that, these atheists and the people promoting the gay agenda will wake up and realize they just tore down their best wall of defense against radical Islam.
And, well, is it possible, though, that that is the true purpose, is to destroy America? Because you destroy the religious foundations of this country. You destroy the moral foundations of this country. You destroy the idealism of America while you destroy the nation. Is it possible that the ACLU is doing that? And then the question comes up, where's the money coming from for the ACLU and similar organizations? Of course, we find a lot of it's coming from our great tax-exempt foundations. But nobody ever wants to talk about that.
You're right. It is a mad design to destroy the country. And I call it a parasite effect. In other words, if somebody has an intestinal worm, that worm thinks of one thing only, growing. It never stops to contemplate what will happen when it finally takes over its host victim. It will die too. And so these people promoting the gay agenda and the atheist secular agenda, they don't stop. Matter of fact, they're incapable of contemplating what will happen when they take over. Then they'll have gutted our country. In other words, you look at Europe. Europe went from being Judeo-Christian, you know, it was all Catholic and then Protestant, and then it all had a remnant of Jews, always had a remnant of Jews. But then Europe went to secularism with the French Revolution, saying atheism, deism, you know, and that gives birth to pluralism, diversity, multiculturalism, that says all beliefs are the same, sure, bring in whatever you want. And so in comes Sharia law Islam that throws the car into reverse and says kill your, you know, daughter if she dishonors the family by dating a non-Muslim, you know, kill the infidel, beat your wife, Surah 434. If somebody becomes apostate, they leave Islam, to kill them. And so in Europe, they're waking up and thinking, how did we get to this place where 70% of the immigrants are Muslim, 50 million Muslims, and in 20 years it'll turn into 100 million Muslims, and that Muhammad right now is the number one name given to newborns in England and in Amsterdam and Rotterdam, Brussels, these different countries, and the Europeans are saying, where did this happen? Well, I'll tell you where it happened. It happened because you went from drive into neutral, and then you got thrown into reverse.
But then, of course, when we find our president, President Bush, saying we all worship the same God, referring to the Muslim faith, when they begin, bringing the Muslims in to give the prayer in Congress, we know we're in trouble. Maybe we ought to clarify what we believe in. We need values clarification for all of America. We're out of time. Our guest has been William Federer. Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Look forward to having you again sometime real soon. Thanks so very much.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan, and AmericanMinute.com. God bless.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps, and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Well, Dr. Stan and Kirsch Sunlight. Love the Bill Feder as a person of Fred. We've been friends for a long time. Where did this radical form of Islam came from? Well, it was funded by the MI6 and the CIA. Long-term planning to create the best enemy money could buy. The book that will give you a lot of information is called The Devil's Game. We carry it. We have recommended it. Oh, if you want to understand what really happened on September 11th, let me suggest the book, The Devil, it's called See No Evil, written by Robert Baer, a CIA agent in Iraq, actually in Kurdistan during the 1990s, and he will tell you that the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and after the 9/11 attack, a high-ranking CIA official said off the record that when the dust finally settles, why the American people realized that 9/11 wasn't a feat of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. It was the triumph of intelligence. You really need to get our little pamphlets called Foreknowledge 9/11, $9.95 for all three of them. Then you need to get our latest one, which is What Really Happened. The true story of 9/11, that's only $3.95. Get this and read them through, and you'll have more knowledge about what happened on that fateful day than anybody else I know. We have a great new DVD. It's called Blueprint for Terror. Blueprint for Terror. It's put out by the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. It's available here at Radio Liberty. We also, of course, carry In Plain Sight, and, of course, another one of my favorites, a 9/11 Mystery. So all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't heard my recent interviews with David Craig Griffin, you need to get them, and my interviews, of course, with Richard Gage, who's an architect, who just analyzed what happens and says it couldn't have happened the way we've been told that it happened, talking about the coming down of the Twin Towers. The Twin Towers didn't come down as we were told they happened, then everything that's happened since then and everything we're doing to antagonize the Muslim world, the invasion of Iraq and all the people who have died for absolutely nothing. But you must understand there are people who look at the world differently. They believe in elites that rule the world. They're moving towards a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. And you must understand we have to destroy the Muslim world to bring that about. And that's what's going on. And this is why there's so many books out there designed to make us hate the Muslims. And, of course, over there in the Muslim world, everything is being done to get them Muslims to hate the United States, and right here in the Wahhabi finance schools in America, they're teaching why, of course, the Muslim youth to hate America, and it's perfectly all right to kill them. Understand, they're teaching that in our schools here, and we are allowing that to occur in the schools that are financed by our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and certainly the Bush family's very good friends over there in Saudi Arabia. Understand, nothing as it appears to be. Now, we do have many of you out there, if you're really concerned about what's going on, well, if you're concerned about what's happening with oil, you'll want to get the four tapes that we have called The Oil Deception. The oil deception, because it is a deception, this whole oil scam. It's going to be very, very costly, but it's all a deception. And then, of course, we hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the forbidden secret with the syllabus, the talk on the planned police state with the syllabus, the talk on, and here you'll get a lot of the documents you really need to have to understand what's going on, sustainable development, the road to world government, and the syllabus. And there you'll get the Earth Charter and the summary and the global biodiversity assessment. You'll have the documents at your fingertips. So you can show to others, you can explain that there's an organized effort to destroy our economy, to impoverish our people, and to bring about this world government. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, of course, understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and behind what's going on are powerful supernatural forces. And then pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. We got a great guest this next hour, one of my favorites, good friend Dr. Dennis Ketty. We'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.